afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed, where we are back to discuss Glee, Fox
Glee.
Show Glee. It has been a week. That summer is so hard.
It is. We had a lot going on last week.
Yeah.
My bad.
We do. Ed, we went to a concert last night. We went to go see Meatloaf.
I'm so glad you didn't invite me.
It was awesome. So awesome.
Mm.
It was fantastic. For the listeners who don't know who Meatloaf is, he's awesome. You should know who Meatloaf is.
So they've heard of they've seen Rocky Horror, I'm sure, so.
Oh god, do people still watch? Ed, you're a young man. Do you still watch Rocky Horror at college parties?
There's a theater in my university that plays it once a month.
Yeah.
And lots of people go to it. So
there is still a Rocky Horror contingent out in the world.
Yeah.
Because even when I was in high school, it was kind of quieting down. But then there was like a resurgence when I was in college. So I think it's kind of a college thing.
Okay.
It's like Kevin Smith.
He started off the concert with the song from Rocky Horror.
It was the only song he performed that I didn't know all the words to. I don't have the most attraction. But yes, so welcome to the Gleeful Podcast. Ed, what have you been up to?
Just chilling.
I
don't know.
You're back at home.
School's out. Back at home for a little bit. I go back to school in like a week.
Cool.
And just
awesome. Well, we can go ahead. We have some Glee news to discuss. As always, there's always a gazillion things going on in the Gleeverse. The show just went back into production, though, so there will be a little less stuff going on in the Gleeverse to discuss. And then, of course, we were going to talk about the pilot. We all took a look back at the pilot, specifically the director's cut of the pilot, which was
available on the
DVD. I actually don't.
I prefer the original over the director's cut to be.
Well, we will get there. We'll definitely have to discuss that because I think that will be a good topic of conversation. But before we get into that, let's go ahead and talk about some Glee stuff. Glee to launch tacky clothing line is the headline on. Oh no, they didn't. that's pretty specific to this particular writer's opinion of the clothing line. According to USA Today's Cindy Clark, Gleeks wanting to go the distance are in for a sartorial surprise. They'll soon be able to deck themselves out in Glee-inspired clothing. The fashion line, which will be available exclusively at Macy's starting Sunday, we're recording here on Friday, features t-shirts, fashion tops, and hoodies priced from $19.99 to $34.99. There's even a copy of a Cheerio uniform top for the ultimate Sue Sylvester idolizer. Jennifer.
Wow.
Since all the models in this advertisement are female, so I think that eliminates Ed and I. How do you feel about the Glee clothing line?
It's cute, but I didn't know there was like, I didn't realize it was hard to obtain. I mean, honestly.
Like Glee-related clothing?
Oh, yeah. I would have thought this stuff was out there. I mean, they seem a little late on this.
You have a point. I mean, but this is like sanctioned Glee wear. Like the other Glee wear you couldn't find at Macy's.
That's okay. Well, I mean, the sanctioned stuff, it's cute. It's very generic, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think the fan-inspired stuff is actually more interesting to me.
So the stuff that, like, the fans really, like, generated themselves.
I mean, a lot of the t-shirts that we saw at the concert were really cute.
Yes.
And very, very colorful, very playful, very much in the vein of, you know, the Glee team, whatever they're called. I forget what they're called.
Well, and they were like full Cheerios uniforms when we went to the Glee concert.
Oh, yeah.
That actually, but they said Glee where it would have said William McKinley High School. It's just going to be t-shirts, you know, tops, hoodies. It's going to have the Glee logo on it. It's going to be kind of fun. I don't know. I'm waiting for like the Hot Topic line because the Hot Topic line will have like naughty stuff because they'll be hip. You know?
I mean, when they start to come out with the, the sweaters with the knit animals on them, you know, the Rachel Berry line. Okay, I'll get behind that.
Ed, what do you think of a Glee clothing line?
I mean, it's everything. Now, like, as they even said, music allows you to branch out into so many different fields. I mean, I'm not going to be reading the books. I'm not going to be buying the clothing. It's whatever. They're going to make money, and that's just how it is.
Yeah, they're definitely going to go any direction they possibly can. It's interesting, though, like to you guys, there is the start of the merchandising boom, you know, where, like, a TV show will put out T-shirts. Pretty much every TV show, you can get a T-shirt if you want. Maybe there's a souvenir book out there. You know, freaking Monk had a series of books that you could buy. But when it crosses the line, like, into High School Musical territory, and then every store you go to, you can get a sock with Gabrielle's face on it,
yeah.
You can get a T-shirt, you can get any article of clothing head-to-toe with Edward Cullen's face on it.
Yeah, you can get the charm necklace with, you know, Troy's name and a heart, and, yeah. You know, locker magnets and posters. It's a little...
Ed, do you think we're going that direction? And what effect do you think that would have on the show?
See, that's what... That it isn't so much that I feel, well, I feel this way anyways, I don't know if it's true, that people hate High School Musical so inherently, it's just they hate that it's everywhere. Like, I don't, I really have no distaste for Hannah Montana, but I do hate the fact that I can't buy a pack of gum without having her face shoved in my face. So it's like, you don't want to alienate people. And right now, Glee is walking a very thin line because people are like, there's some people who are like, oh, this is like just High School Musical again, but there's a group of people who are like, no, it's not like that at all. And like, it's kind of tightroping, but this will surely send it down the wrong end.
Yeah, I mean, like, T-shirts is one thing, but yeah, if they start merchandising everything, they will become that overexposure breaking point for people, and they'll just be so turned off.
Like the American Idol Coca-Cola cans that are like special and like, they're like spherical. Shaped. We're like, what's the point? What is the point of this? I always consider buying it just because the shape was really unique, but I didn't.
Well, there's a certain quality to what you're describing, Ed, when you talk about High School Musical. You know, I did quite enjoy the first one. I didn't really like the other two. But don't look at me like that.
You've seen the third one?
I did. I TiVo'd it the other day. It's bad. But I like the thing. But kind of to what you were saying, Ed, I do think there's a quality of like don't hate the player, hate the game. Like, there's a point where I still like High School Musical, but I'm kind of tired of High School Musical fans. Mm-hmm. And I don't, and I think there is a certain class of people that just kind of like High School Musical ended and then they put Glee into their lives in that same place. And so even though the comparison to Glee and High School Musical is kind of a vague one, there will always be a certain kind of class of people that are going to obsess over Glee in the same way that they would have obsessed over, you know, High School Musical and Hannah Montana before that, and this week, like, Zach and Cody before that, and yada, yada, yada. And so...
Oh, I love Zach and Cody.
It's a worse show. It's a worse show.
Brenda
come
Song
on.
In the name of Brenda Song. What are you talking about?
Oh, come on. Zach and Cody is, like, borderline racist. Like, and every time I see that show, I see something mildly offensive. Obviously, I don't watch it that often. So my point is, I do think that's my concern, is that Glee will become a thing where you almost, like, it's almost cool to dislike it because the people that do like it have gotten so annoying. And, you know, I mean, Twilight is totally that way. There are people that hate Twilight without ever having read the books to know that it's horrible. They just hate it because
everyone loves it so much.
Yeah, you just have to turn on it. And I certainly don't want to see Glee go that direction. But I guess everything obsessively popular does to a certain extent.
Yeah, there'll always be some level of backlash, but... You know, so far they're doing a really good job of reining it in. They haven't gone nearly as crazy as they could have. And, you know, they're staying true, at least in the storyline so far, and at least from what Ryan Murphy was saying for next season, they're staying very true to their, you know, their roots, so that's good. So hopefully there won't be any, you know, crazy backlash.
I mean, you make a good point. I mean, the show, the pilot episode ran over a year ago now, and only now are we starting to get an official line of Glee t-shirts. And that's saying something, because seriously, I mean, it was days within the release of, again, we reference High School Musical, that thing was in every Disney store on every Macy's shelf.
That's also the difference.
That's part of the machine.
Disney's machine, yeah.
Yeah. Well, in other Glee news, in the Gleeverse, Blue Water Productions is releasing its latest in a Fame series of biography comic books. It's called Fame, The Cast of Glee. The 32-page comic book one-shot takes a close look at the lives of the actors and creative talent that have made the Fox Broadcasting series Glee such a runaway hit. This is from some source that I've... from Blue Water Productions press release. Anyway, they're doing a Glee comic book. It's actually it's not about the characters at all. It's actually about it's a biographical comic of the actors in the show, specifically Lea Michele, Matthew Morrison, Jane Lynch, Carrie Monteith, and Chris Colfer, as well as the creative team behind the show, specifically Ryan Murphy. So a Glee comic book, I don't know what crossover that's going to have. Like, is the Glee group a big bunch of comic book nuts? There were definitely a ton of Glee people at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But not very many people who go to Comic-Con anymore actually read comics, Jennifer. So anyway.
What was that about? I read more comics now than I have ever.
That's true. So what do we think, guys? A Glee comic book? Do we care? Will either of you buy it? It's just one of the Glee things that will go on in the background that you'll never pay attention to.
As long as we don't discover that some pivotal plot point is hidden within this comic book, then I guess I'll be okay with it.
It's weird, though, that it's about the actors and not the characters. It's not just some fan fiction that's, you know, kind of filling in the gaps or you know, giving some history or other stories about the show. It's weird. I also saw one, if you go to the site, they're doing one on Taylor Lautner too, and it's just creepy.
Yes, apparently Blue Water Comics, this is what they do, is these biographical comics. They're famous for their Sarah Palin and Michelle Obama comics that sold really well. This is actually a thing that I remember when I was a kid, I would buy biographical comics about the Beatles and about Springsteen, so it's not a particularly new idea.
Yeah, but those are biographical, and to have, I don't know, it's like, I mean, people love the show because of the characters these people play.
True.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people like the actors themselves too, and maybe were even fans beforehand, but the fact is that they love the characters and they love the stories and love the writing, so why do they need to know, I don't know, like why, do you, I don't know.
Sure.
I don't see how the interest would translate.
It is a good point. I mean, is the casual Glee fan? I mean, I guess they're banking on there are people that will buy anything Glee, and just because it exists. And you know, then there's a class of people that are just, you know, they just like the show, right, and they're going to watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny you say that, Ed, because that was the big sell with every piece of Lost merchandise for years. Like all the Lost video games, the Lost books, everything that came out Lost related. They always said there's some top secret gem of story in there that you will need to know for it all to make sense. And I never found it, but I bought many of them. So, you know, that is a trick that works. If they were to put out a game like they're doing the Glee karaoke video game, SingStar Glee or whatever, and if they were to put that out with like an exclusive song performed by the cast, I think it would sell a lot more copies.
But
it's just a general thing. Yeah, we actually played it at Comic-Con. Have you seen this, Ed? The SingStar Glee game?
No.
It's just like the American Idol one, if you saw that. It's like a karaoke game. You sing into a microphone and it tracks that your voice is kind of on pitch. But it's pretty much just straight...
Yeah, those games don't like me.
It's pretty much just straight clips from the show.
Yeah.
Like they just play the
recordings.
Yeah, you're just watching a video of the
episode.
That'd
be sweet. I mean, I get so mad. This is like an aside. That I can't watch the music videos. Like, I want to just, like, watch... What if I just want to watch Mercy perform by Vocal Adrenaline again on YouTube? Or Rose's Turn again? Or Don't Rain on My Parade again? But YouTube or Fox keeps insisting on taking it off YouTube. I'm just like...
So the DVDs need a like skip to function where you just go straight to the performance.
I
know,
if they just release a DVD
that'd be
of,
good
just
menu
of just performances, I would buy that in addition to the seasons and just be like, oh, I want to check out this performance because, you know, I haven't seen Rose's Turn enough. But
that is a pretty interesting point. I mean, if only a special feature on the DVD that's just a menu function of take me directly to this performance.
Yeah.
Like they have that on some of the musicals that I'll buy. Like the Moulin Rouge disc will take you to specifically one performance.
Yeah, instead of chapter selection, it's song selection.
Interesting. You're onto something, Ed.
Ooh, let's talk to somebody at Fox.
I think Fox needs to hire me, frankly. I am looking for a job, Fox, so if you want to call me.
Well, let's go ahead and take a listen to this. This was played on, who's that guy? Ryan Seacrest's radio show. This is Mark Salling's new single, and here we go.
Hey, are you feeling sad today? Didn't you catch the one you wanted just to let them get away? Then everyone becomes a therapist you can't afford to pay. You're going insane. So, maybe something's wrong with you. Seems the world's become disinterested in everything you do. And if your dream is to be lonely, then I guess it's coming true. Are you alive? Are you even alive? Because love is an impossible. I have seen a broken and beautiful.
On air with Ryan Seacrest, world premiere.
Distraction from yourself, it's time to reevaluate.
Okay, does anybody else hear I Will Survive?
Oh, wow.
No, I hear something else.
What do you hear, Ed?
He does the same thing to his voice as Gerard Way does in My Chemical Romance. That's all I can hear when I listen to it.
Interesting. Like, okay. Well, here you go. Should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you.
Oh my god.
You'll be back to bother me. So now go. Walk out the door.
Just turn
it's the same
now.
Song.
It isn't the same song. I mean,
it's very similar now.
It's okay. I mean, it's no Ice Ice Baby and Under Pressure. I mean, it's not that.
Well, but that's literally the same song, Ed. Like, they sampled one to create the other.
It's weird. I think I'm so used to hearing, like, when Puck has a solo, it's, you know, usually acoustic. And this is so overprocessed. Yeah. It's weird to think that this is his style.
I totally agree.
But you have to think this is what he wants, right? This is the noise he wants to be heard as.
Well,
right?
This is what he came to Hollywood to do, right? He came out here to be a singer, right?
I mean, as far as I know, he's been in a band. He was in Jericho for a while, which I think I actually have the album of. We should listen to sometime on the show. But he's been in bands. That was his first priority, as far as I know. On August 6th, on his website, it was announced that he would be releasing a rock jazz album inspired by, and this is from his website, Alice in Chains, Nine Inch Nails, Miles Davis, and Herbie Hancock.
Hmm.
Interesting. It's entitled,
I feel like this is Taylor Momsen all over.
Oh my god, that music's horrible.
Oh, I haven't listened to any of it. Pretty Reckless.
Pretty Reckless is pretty bad.
Oh, it's horrible. And the videos are just, oh my god. Anyway.
Well, she said she doesn't want to be Hannah Montana or Miley Cyrus, so. No,
but they're at least watchable.
Mission, you mean successful? Because that's what she's not being.
Yeah, listenable, mission accomplished.
Okay.
Anyway, Mark Salling's album will be entitled Pipe Dreams, scheduled for release on October 12th, 2010. That song was entitled.
Oh, October. I think
October 12th.
His birthday's coming up.
Yesterday. Oh my god. Where have I been?
And the first single is entitled Higher Power. That's the one we just listened to. And yes, his birthday is on August 16th or 17th, which is in just a couple days. So congratulations to Mark Salling.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. So that's pretty much all we have for Glee News this week, guys.
No,
do we have any other?
We have one more bit.
Go.
What
do we got?
Oh, okay. Jane Lynch is going to be hosting one of the first episodes of SNL.
That's correct.
Yes.
Good catch.
Yes, we're going to be
in Hawaii, but we will watch
Hawaii.
It in Hawaii.
Yeah, so that means it's October 9th. Yay! Yes. I'm so excited. Can't believe it's like she's done so much stuff that now finally she gets to host.
It
and
is
that
bizarre
she's the
how
first
like,
one.
Like nobody's will host SNL. Like there are people that will host SNL that you'll later, like years later, when somebody says, "Did you know January Jones hosted SNL?" You'll be like, "Really?"
That was painful.
Did you know Nancy Kerrigan once hosted SNL? Monica Lewinsky once hosted SNL. Like you would, but at the same, like if in 10 years I said Jane Lynch did it, you'd be like, "Of course Jane Lynch did it. That makes perfect sense."
Yeah. Wow.
Sean William Scott once hosted SNL.
Which one is he?
Exactly.
Well, there was a handful of actors that came out around the same time, you know, in the early 2000s that were all Tom Everett Scott, Sean
William Scott. He was Stifler from the American
Got it, got it. Okay.
At one time he was.
Did Madonna ever host SNL? I feel
Madonna,
like that's a stupid
she's
question.
Been on it so many times.
She's been on it, but I don't think he's ever actually
hosted, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she's been on it so many times. I can only assume she hosted it at one point or another.
But very excited for Jane Lynch.
Yes, very excited. Did you see who the musical guest is?
Is it the cast of Glee?
No, I don't think so. But that would be cool.
It would be better if it was Vocal Adrenaline. Okay, continue. Who is it?
I don't know. I didn't hear. I was asking.
I don't know. We're just throwing around names. It'd be so sweet if. Yeah, insert
we're just
name here.
Making stuff up at this point.
It's Puck.
Mark Sally, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, we shall see. And let's go ahead and discuss the pilot. You know, we started podcasting this show. Ed and I recorded a show just a few days before episode 2 ran. And so the pilot had been around for quite a while at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And Jennifer had not quite jumped into the fold. So I kind of feel like we're discussing the pilot for the first time, which is kind of exciting. Let's go ahead and listen to one of our favorite songs from the pilot. This is, of course, Lea Michele's performance of On My Own from, as she describes it, the seminal Broadway show, Les Mis. And this was the song when I was in high school, when you auditioned for anything, if you were a girl, you sang On My Own.
I'm glad you clarified it was a female.
No, I sang It's Now or Never by Elvis Presley, of course.
Tending he's beside me, all alone, I walk with him till morning. Without him, I feel his arms around me. And when I lose my way, I close my eyes, and he has found me. In the rain, the pavement shines like silver. All the lights are misty in the river. Darkness, the trees are full of starlight, and all I see is him and me forever and forever. And I know it's only in my mind that I'm talking to myself and not to him. And although
So there are three versions of the pilot that I've been able to find, as well as a listener actually sent me the script for the first episode, which I've never read before, and I meant to read and I totally forgot. So if I ever get around to reading it, I'll let you know how that is different. But there are three versions. There's a televised version, which I think you can only, I think that's pretty much gone now, as far as I remember.
Yeah, really?
You might be able to download it illegally. But, there's the director's cut, which was rebroadcast months later, as well as available on the DVD. And then there's actually an extended director's cut, which I found available online. That was even more, I think it was 9 extra minutes on top of the director's cut. So there's these three different versions. My first question to you guys was going to be, which one do you prefer? Ed, you already weighed in. You said you prefer the original broadcast version to the director's cut. Now, why is that? Because the main differences would be Mr. Schuster's performance of Leaving on a Jet Plane.
That's what it is. I hate it so much that it's it's out of place. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't need to be there. Thank you.
So there's also a rearrangement of the opening minutes of the episode are different between the director's cut and the televised version. Jennifer, do you?
I don't remember the televised version. I'm sorry. Wow. I mean, I kind of remember watching when they re-aired the pilot episode again. Mm-hmm. But it was, so I do remember thinking, oh yeah, this is different, that's different. But I don't remember really now going back with we originally saw. So I have no opinion. Sorry.
I have to go in with the director's cut. I think the director's cut is a superior cut because the beginning makes so much more sense in the director's cut. In the original televised version, they ran through the opening minutes very quickly and kind of rushed through Sandy Ryerson's backstory.
That's right.
I actually watched the TV version, the original broadcast version, twice before I was even able to piece together Sandy's story. And the director's cut really takes the time to kind of establish that. That said, and I totally agree that leaving on a jet plane is entirely out of place in that episode. It just, like, the plot comes to a screeching halt when he performs that number.
You know what? I just rewatched the director's cut yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that. I kind of remember him picking up the guitar, but I must have stepped away to do something at that moment. So obviously it had little impact on me. So, or had little interest to me as well.
Well, it's an interesting piece. We'll take a listen to it a little later. I don't believe it's even on any of the soundtracks. Ed, is it on any of the soundtracks?
What, leaving on a jet plane?
Yeah.
I'm gonna search because I don't think so. I think it was nope. I typed in leaving and nothing came up.
There you go. Nope. So it's not on any of the soundtracks. I mean, that doesn't mean they don't like the song, but it's like the show's moving, all this stuff is happening, it's really fun, and then he sings this kind of sad song, and you just kind of take a couple minutes
off. Well, I mean, he was sad
at
the moment. He was giving up on re-giving up on another dream. It ruins the vibe, man.
Well, one thing that Jennifer and I were discussing, because you rewatched the first couple episodes yesterday, mm-hmm. and I'd forgotten how dense those first 9 episodes are.
Oh,
they pack so much stuff into those episodes, and they definitely started taking their time towards the end. But those first 9 are just crazy, and the pilot is amazing.
The pilot, they wanted the show to happen, and you're gonna jam pack that every camera frame. 10 things need to be happening.
Seriously.
And an invisible monkey.
you've got introducing all of the characters.
Yes.
I mean, all of the individual plot lines between the characters. They just run through all of that stuff. You establish Emma and Will, and Emma and Tanaka, and Will and Sue. And I mean, you can't even, like, usually when we discuss an episode, we piece out, we kind of pull apart the different plot
lines
separately. Like, you can't. They're so involved with one another. One thing I did notice that Santana is in the pilot, but there is no Brittany. And Santana is in the credits, but there is no Brittany in the episode. I guess she didn't come up until episode 3. Is that correct? For the single lady? No, 2, because she performs in the...
she was in episode 2. Yeah, she was with...
The moment I wake up.
Say a little prayer for you.
Yeah, say a little prayer. Forever, thank you. we get to see the first display of Rachel and her 2 gay dads, which we never see again.
Right.
That we do see them mentioned.
Yep.
Now, there's a campaign by one of the gay dads to get himself on the show.
One of the actors in that picture?
Yeah, one of the actors in the photograph to get himself on the show.
I hope that they do get them. I hope, again, I know we talked about this before, but I'm like, I really hope that they're real actors. And because we've seen them and they, you know, it wasn't just like a passing shot. And she made a big deal about, you know, they mix the sperm together, so I don't really know, you know, who I am. But, like, clearly she has traits of one dad over the other. So I thought that was really cute that she was like, but we don't know who I'm taking after, so.
Yeah, there's no way to know.
Yeah.
The actor's name is Rob Steiner. He is the white one, I believe. Yes. And he has a petition on Facebook that you can sign. The petition to get Rob Steiner back on Glee as Rachel's gay dad.
That's awesome.
There's also there's a lot of stuff on the internet about John Barrowman trying to get cast as one of Rachel's gay dads.
Wow.
I don't know how big he is in this country, but he's a huge
in the UK.
Superstar in the UK.
Yeah.
He's
done some stuff here now that people are at least getting to know who he is now. Mm-hmm. He's done a few American shows.
Now, Ed, would it bother you if the 2 gay dads show up and it's not the 2 from the photograph?
No, I'd get over it. I mean, if they chose people, that means they were the right people to choose.
True.
So
yeah.
So I mean, yeah. That's I guess it's as simple as that.
In the at one point when Sue is talking to Emma, she says, "My cheerleaders didn't get on Fox Sports Net because they ate at Bacon Junction." God, I want to eat at Bacon Junction. Who doesn't want to eat it? That sounds awesome. It's just made of
but
bacon.
But yet bacon vodka was disturbing to you?
Oh, that's right. You sent me bacon vodka.
When, last summer, I went to the Wisconsin State Fair, and they had chocolate-covered bacon, and that was really
nice.
Gross.
Oh, it was, come on. Like, it's two great things together.
It does. It is.
Okay, okay. Just because you like chocolate, just because you like bacon, does not mean you like chocolate bacon. It's like you like Glee, and you like... Okay, this is not. This is gonna lead me nowhere. Whatever I say at this point will lead me.
Could say Lost, and then they do a
Lost and Glee. Imagine that.
And then they do like a variety show on the island.
No, it's an alternate reality where they're all in high school and they sing songs.
That'd be awesome.
So we do learn in this first episode that Will's former instructor, the former choir teacher, was kind of his mentor. There's actually a lot more footage of her in the extended version of the director's cut, where you actually hear her talking and she has her catchphrase. By definition, Glee is... Oh, I wrote it down.
The something of joy.
Yeah.
The expression of joy.
Is the expression of joy. Something like that.
And, extension of joy.
Yeah. And it's on her plaque in the in the
trophy case.
Trophy case. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good Lord.
Listener Paige emailed us and said, "One thing I remember about the pilot was the picture of some old choir teacher that was in the display case because it was so funny. And then it tied into the finale because Mr. Schuster was seen taking it down when Sue came in and told him Glee could last one more year. The reason it moved from the front of the school display case to the Glee room, I don't know. But it was a good picture."
Well, now that Mr. Schuster was in charge, maybe he... had it moved to the room for, you know, motivation. Because when you look at that face, how could you not be motivated?
It is very true. Now, what the Paige goes on to say, one of her favorite quotes from the episode was Sandy in Sheets and Things saying, "Don't you just love a good monkey?" we have so much Sandy in this episode, about the most Sandy we will get in the season.
Acapellas.
That's true. There's a lot of Sandy and Acapellas. That's a good point.
Yeah. Run, Joey, run. Okay, that's not a lie.
A little bit of Sandy in Run, Joey, Run. You know, what's the future for Sandy? Like, do we think we're going to see Sandy again, or is Sandy done?
Yeah, well, of course.
Well, what do we want to see Sandy doing? So he comes back. What do we want to see from Sandy yet?
Be menacing or something, I guess. Like, I guess that's what we want from him at this point.
Okay, it just occurred to me, because I just rewatched it, so Rachel goes ahead and gets him fired, but then she hires him to be in her video?
Yes. So one thing that...
That's like months later.
I know.
Over it.
There were a couple things, though, rewatching the pilot that were interesting from kind of in that regards. Like, Rachel seemed more manipulative in this first episode than ever again.
I'm sad that she isn't. I'm glad that you... Because I was like... She's not even a quarter of as manipulative as she used to be. And it's just like, I love that. And they're trying to make her more likable because people didn't really like her. But I loved her manipulative side.
You're saying people didn't really like her from the pilot?
Yeah. Lots of people I know were not fans of Rachel. But
really?
I love Rachel.
Also, I felt that her wardrobe was a bit more ambitious.
Yes.
In the first episode. You know, she was trying to be more trendy. And now she's just kind of... you know, falling back to the schoolgirl sweaters and skirts.
That's a really good point. She seems a bit more...
conservative.
Yeah, she kind of became more dowdy in the later episodes.
Mm. Where's the girl who posts a MySpace video on her page every day to keep her talent blossoming? Where is this girl? Rachel is not that girl.
You know what? Yeah, it's the boys. They mess with the head, and then you lose sight of your dreams, and all of a sudden you're wearing funny sweaters.
But yes, the Rachel in the pilot is much more ambitious than the Rachel. I mean, going after that, Rachel became kind of conceited, you know, much more of a stereotypical drama queen. Mm. But she wasn't the same kind of like blind ambition that we had in the earlier ones.
It didn't seem like she had many friends though in the first episode. Oh. So now she has friends, and there seems to be, I mean, not just the guys, but other relationships that are kind of taking the focus maybe a little bit.
Are there any other characters that jumped out at you guys from the pilot that seemed to, like, were different in the pilot than from the rest of the series?
Terry.
You
know what? I think it's just because, like, Emma was, you know, just so cute and, you know, obviously so smitten with Will, like, kind of wanted her to get together. And Terry was not near as evil as I built her up in my mind to be in the very, very beginning.
That's true.
She, you know, absolutely believed she was pregnant. So it's like, not like she went out of her way to lie. You know, it's like she didn't intentionally start off lying. She got kind of caught up in it and, you know, just saw these changes happening and just realized, just felt that this is what she needed to do. And then she totally went off the deep end. But, like, she didn't start off near as evil as she later became.
Ed, you're a huge Terry fan. How did you feel about Terry in the pilot versus the Terry that she became?
Terry in the pilot.
Oh, we just lost Ed.
Come back, Ed.
Hey, let's see if we can get him again. Are you
sorry,
back?
Sorry. I don't know what happened.
Did you click it? No? Okay.
I don't know what happened entirely. Terry in the pilot was, she was just in a bad situation, but she went to the doctor because she thought she was pregnant, and then found out that it was a sterile pregnancy, and then she still proceeded to tell Will that it was a boy. So, it's
yeah.
Like...
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying that, you know... She's innocent by any means. But I'm just saying...
She's not that.
Like, I don't... I think that she's so focused on her dream, and that being, you know, her husband, her family, and her, you know, teak toilet bowl brushes, that she loses sight of what's right and wrong. And I just... I don't know. It's like... So she thought, you know, she'd buy a little time by, you know... lying, and then thought maybe, you know what, we'll get pregnant anyhow. And yeah, it's just I'm not saying that, you know, she's not deranged and psychopath later. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes things happen and you make a bad choice that now you have to kind of go with.
One bad choice leads to another bad choice. Well, like, yeah. Emma said on in like episode 13-ish, like, the way she did it was wrong, but I understand if it justifies,
yeah.
Ends justify means.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, we also got to see the Glee Clubbers audition in this episode. It seems odd to me that we get to see Mercedes, Kurt, Tina, and Rachel audition, but we never get to see Artie audition for the Glee Club. He just shows up later as a member. What do you think Artie would have auditioned with? Anybody?
Well, he was with Tina C when they were signing the paper. I remember that.
Was yeah. he? Oh, I did. I don't yeah. remember seeing him.
Yeah.
No, I imagine he did do an audition song. He wasn't interesting enough, so they didn't.
I think he did a boy band song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Totally.
I like that. Ed, do you have any idea what he would have auditioned with?
I don't know, like some Run DMC thing. I don't know. That's what I see in my head.
Nice. Listener Caitlin emailed in to say, in the pilot, I noticed three things. You see Tina signing up on the sign-up sheet as Tina.
No, yes. Only right. Does she really sign it?
She does.
She stutters the T.
She stutters the T. But when Rachel Berry signs up, above her name, it just reads Tina C.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we had talked about that before. I thought it was hysterical that, yeah. I think we were talking about, like, when she lost her stutter. And I said, you know, it was so ingrained in her that she would even write it out. And that's awesome. But I didn't catch, I'll have to watch it again. I didn't catch that it had been changed.
Now, according to listener Caitlin, also on the sign-up sheet, Artie's name is spelled wrong.
Oh.
And when you hear Rachel talking about her gay dads and about her MySpace page schedule, she says that she puts a video up every day to keep her talent alive. But when the cheerleaders are watching her video, it shows the computer, it says related videos, none. It says that there are no related videos.
Oh.
So, but that was a pretty good eyes on listener Galen's part.
Very good catch.
Very impressive. So we do get to see the auditions. One thing that I remember taking away from the auditions, well, the main thing I always take away from the auditions is that damn I kissed a girl in my head for the rest of the day.
Yes.
Seriously, you hear like 30 seconds of that song sung on a piano by Tina, and for the rest of the day you're like, oh, I guess it's
song. And I like
hate that song.
Oh, but I can't get her her hand motions out of my head either, too.
Well, that was the thing. When she performed that in the first episode, I thought Tina was going to be a lesbian character.
Yeah.
I was very surprised. I mean, I forgot about it because over the next couple episodes, Tina really doesn't do that much. Mm-hmm. She kind of disappears for 3 or 4 episodes after the pilot. But I thought that that was going to be Tina's thing, is she was going to be a militant high school lesbian. But I mean, how did you guys take that? Because like the song and the hand motion are pretty aggressive in that moment.
I guess I never really thought either way, but I mean, it definitely struck me as aggressive or angry.
Angry. Ed, any opinion on Tina's audition?
I feel like they had such ambition with all these characters, and not to say that they didn't do something that was great, but like, Tina was supposed to be this goth chick, and that I just never got that out of it.
Mm.
And I don't know. Maybe she is, and I'm just blind. But
well, listener Jonathan emailed in to point out, and I did see this confirmed in a couple other places. This is the only episode where Sue Sylvester uses Emma's real name.
She did say Emma. Yes, yeah. But I didn't know it's the only one. That's funny.
Yeah, there's some other trivia online. We mentioned this before. The plaque behind the 1993 trophy for national championship in show choir is for Lillian Adler, 1937 to 1997. So that's the choir director we were trying to think of. And the quote is, by its very definition, glee is about opening yourself up to joy. Let's see. We had a couple other great emails from listeners. Listener Chloe emailed in to say that she had read the brochures. A couple that I didn't notice in the past was Divorce, Why Your Parents Stopped Loving You, I Can't Stop Touching Myself, Radon, the Secret Killer, My Mom's Bipolar and She Won't Stop Yelling.
Wow.
Wow, There's a Hair Down There and So You Like Throwing Up.
Oh, I think somebody else pointed out So You Like Throwing Up before.
So yeah, there's some great stuff there. Let's see. Listener Jonathan sent in all of his favorite quotes from the episode, you know, and we've heard so many of them. My personal favorite, I think, has to be that Bacon Junction. Bacon Junction's just awesome.
Yeah.
Let's see if we've got anything
else. It's not real, Josh.
But it is. It's important to me.
Did you believe Candyland was real, too?
Of course. So the outcome of this episode, like, I don't think anyone, I certainly remember when they were publicizing this episode, it ran after an American Idol decision show, and they used to publicize this episode every freaking American Idol commercial break. We would get Glee, and I think the first couple times I saw the promo, I was just kind of like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe this will be something worth watching. I don't know. Ed, what was your... Because, you know, we all watched American Idol at that time. Ed, what was your reaction the first time you saw the pitch for Glee? Was it right on, I'm going to do that? Or did it take a
little
time?
No, it was like, I'm going to check this out. I'm genuinely interested to see what this has to offer. But I my hopes weren't as high as... I was bracing myself for much worse. I was like, this is going to be okay. Not great.
And Jennifer, what was your first reaction to the promos?
I honestly was a little confused. I didn't know if it was reality based or if it was scripted. But I was definitely kind of intrigued. I didn't know right away, but I mean, once I started to learn what it was, and then I think it was after we saw the pilot, and then we were talking with our friend of ours, and he was like, oh, that show's never going to last. It's just going to be like another like cop rock or something. I'm like, no, this is good. This one's different. This is special. It's got legs. It's going somewhere.
It was definitely unique. I mean, I remember the promos just being like, well, that could be good. And it came on right after American Idol, so you knew that, I go, well, they're definitely hitting me in the right part of myself, so I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. But it took a while. I mean, I do remember those promos just being all the time and kind of thinking, I don't know if this is going to go so well.
I don't watch a lot of promos.
Well, yeah. But we did, when you watch the pilot, you can't get through that thing without tearing up. Oh, that God. Last scene, that last performance of Don't Stop Believin', like, it's over. I got nothing left after that. I
get goosebumps just thinking about it.
And that's a pretty unique performance, because watching it, you can see these kids, like, they're not quite their characters yet. Like, I was watching it, and Kurt does this weird head move that I don't think Kurt today would ever really do. And you can see Corey Monteith, who still can't really dance, like, really can't dance. Yeah. Like, he can barely walk. He spends most of that number, if you watch him, standing in one place while Michelle walks circles around him.
Yeah.
Because she seems to have all the moves. But it's exciting to see, you know, they were just getting started. They were just figuring it out.
Yeah, I mean, I did feel that the, it was just so much thrown at us, and of course you could never really delve into each character, but everybody was very one note, you know, everybody was very much the stereotype.
So much happened
that
episode. If anyone had three dimensions, you would just explode.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Have to be like, you know, like a mini series or something. But I kind of liked that the way that they introduced everybody. It was so clear. It's like, okay, she's the diva. She's this. He's that. And I, you know, looking back, I'm like, wow, that was such a really good foundation.
Yeah.
And then to show us their, you know, the other sides of them. It's been such a fun journey with it.
It has been so, I mean, it really laid such a great seed inside of us. I mean, that pilot ran, and what was it, 2 months, 3 months before episode 2? Mm-hmm. And those 2 months, we all talked about this one episode. We couldn't stop talking about this one episode.
We couldn't even get into, you know, the room at Comic-Con talk about it.
We couldn't get into the Comic-Con, and it had one episode had run the year that we saw them the first time at Comic-Con. That's a really good point. One piece of interesting information I found is the week after the pilot aired, Don't Stop Believing was the number one song on iTunes with 177,000 downloads, while Journey's version was number 9 with 42,000 downloads. The song was also number 4 on Billboard's Hot 100, with the original again in the number 9 position. Wow. So they say every time they do a show on Glee, the original just rockets.
Yeah.
Now, Don't Stop Believing has, I think, 2 years in a row been the most downloaded song off iTunes.
It is. Okay, so...
because of the Sopranos finale and then...
Right. This. So... when did the Dodgers adopt Don't Stop Believing?
I don't remember.
That's now their, like, you know, eighth inning anthem.
Yeah, if they're winning, I think they play it. Or if they're losing, they play it. Because then when it's, not every night, but it's silly. So let's go ahead and take a listen to Leaving on a Jet Plane before we go. Or not before we go, but before we move on to the next topic, because we did discuss it a little bit. This is performed in the director's cut, not in the original television version, with Matthew Morrison being really sad. All my bags are packed, ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. But the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. But I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe.
I heard he's having a baby. That's why he gave things his notice.
Okay. Watching it again now, because we're actually watching the clip. Two things I will say in defense of this song being in the director's cut. One, okay, it actually shows that the person who's so passionate about maintaining the Glee Club actually can sing, has some ability. And we get to see Emma circling his face in the yearbook with a heart. So, okay, I think there is something a little bit more basis to this. I think it belongs.
Yeah. Well, that's a valid argument. And it'll be interesting to see if they ever do put it on a CD. Because there are a couple spare songs that they've not put on CD. Mm-hmm. Whereas there are...
Okay, you know, when this is all said and done, it's going to be Glee, the B-side.
Exactly. While there's songs on the CDs that never were actually in the show.
So, oh, that's true.
What songs have been on the CD that never been on the show?
There's one on the from the Madonna episode.
Oh, Burning Up. That was a bonus track. Wasn't actually on the album. We had about Burning Up. I listened to that. That's actually one of my most listened to Glee tracks.
Wait, what do you mean it's a bonus track, but it wasn't on the album? Because I downloaded the album and I got it.
No, that's iTunes only, though.
Oh.
It's an iTunes only bonus track. If you bought it in the store, you wouldn't get Burning Up.
Well, I have one last thing to say about the pilot before we move on. And if you guys have anything, that's great. But my last thing to say is the thing I took away from the pilot is what I want in season two is the return of the Emerald Dreams guy.
Oh my God.
I would love to have him come back. And not only do I want to have him come back, I want to hear his band. Because he says, if I had a voice, what he says to Corey, if I had a voice like you, my band would still be together. I want to hear his band. That would be awesome. And I want to see him with the girl he met at the Pick and Save, who's now 10 years older. And I just think that would be killer. that's Josh's dream plot for season two after watching the pilot.
Wow.
Guys, anything left or anything else about the pilot that you want to mention?
No.
Okay. Ed?
that I could think of. I didn't take notes.
I think it was just a really good... It's like one of the best introductions. It's the Call Me Ishmael of pilots. So... I guess that's just what it is.
Nicely done. Want to say thank you to some of the emailers. If you would like to email us, you can do so by emailing gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. And definitely let us know what you think of the show and about Glee and about the pilot. If we forgot anything, what's your favorite moment? Want to send a shout out to listener Maya because she asked. And so thank you for that. And definitely email us. You can check out the Facebook fan page by going to Facebook and search for Gleeful, and we're all there. And you can post something on it.
Should we get t-shirts? Should Gleeful get t-shirts?
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that off the air.
Just kidding.
You can check out the Facebook fan page. You can check out our website, which is www.gleefulpodcast.com. Ed, would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers?
Yes, I would. Clara, I'm a Gleek, Mrs. Bieber 96, Wemma 516, Rating Gal, My Heart Belongs to Glee, and Emmy Lou. Thank you very much for rating us. I appreciate it.
Yes, do please send or rate us because it's really, you know, good for the iTunes status and all that good stuff. We would also like to. Oh, I wanted to send out some other random thanks because I always forget. Listener Katie had sent us stickers that said, "I need applause to live," and those were awesome. And I totally forgot to mention them on the show. So thank you very much to listener Katie for sending those along.
Yes,
stickers.
Thank you.
I sent them to you, Ed.
Oh,
check the mail. Oh.
I will.
And so then I also, I've been trying to remember to thank listener Jamie, who designed our website and our logo. And it's been a while since we sent them a big thank you. But that was like, every time I look at that logo, I go, man, that's better than anything I could do. So thank you so much to listener Jamie for putting that stuff together. Hopefully they still listen. But we're going to close out here with Don't Stop Believin', the song that started it all and brought us to where we are today as... the three friends that we are. I think that's pretty much it. We'll be back next week. I was thinking if you guys are interested, we'll keep on the momentum and we'll discuss episodes 2, 3, and 4. Huh? Ed, you good with that?
That's legit.
All right. Legit, we will discuss episodes 2, 3, and 4. Ed, you'll know their names. I won't. I believe it's Prager's and Acapella's.
And I don't know what 4 is.
I think it's The Road's Not Taken.
No. It's
Vitamin D?
No, number 2. Because I watched all 4 of them yesterday.
Okay.
But Prager's is number 4.
Oh.
And
we're so prepared.
No, here it is. Here it is.
Okay.
Pregress is number Pregress is number 4. Acapellas is 3. Showmance.
Acapellas, and Pregress will be our discussion in the next episode. So definitely join us for that. And if you have any observations about those three episodes, thank you. then send them along to discuss next time. That's about it for us for the Glee Hole Podcast. I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
I've been Ed. Peace out. OMG, Jeff Hans.
Adios, everybody.
Bye.